Okay, next up, we have Jim of Seattle with Variations on an End. Goes between D minor 7th and G major 7th, and I swear there's an F major slipped in this song too, which is easy, you know, just remove the D from a D minor 7th chord and you end up with that F chord.
Yeah, but, we're going to talk about that later.
Okay. but I played along with each of these songs on my toy piano, switching back and forth between each of those two chords throughout the song, and it all worked fine. So I stopped trying to pinpoint anything like that. I'm stopping my forensics. So the song had just so much orchestration and so much instrumentation, and it was so beautiful. And I just learned sitting here with Chumpy that a lot of that was not synths. It was live saxophone and live strings and live clarinet, and which impresses the hell out of me. But the song is beautiful. I love how the lines practically come in these sort of entrancing waves. And of course, the lyrics are right up my alley too. So, you know, so much so that they remind me a bit of Jerkatorium's song, We Should, you know, because the end of the song repeats We Should three times. I don't mean, you know, don't get me wrong, they're quite different lyrics, but the theme of miscommunication and bad communication and, you know, dysfunction born of a lack of communication and expectations, you know, that's like my whole thing. That's like almost all of the lyrics I ever write, really. So yeah, these words appeal to me, even though it's just a few spare few words per line, but it's lovely. And it might not be enough of an up-tempo head bobber for me to put it on my Zune playlist, but I like this song a lot.
Yeah, you know, I actually didn't think that the sections with vocals were the best part of the song. I mean, I like that it was, you know, about a relationship that was coming to an end and it was sad, but the part of the song I really loved was the instrumental that is in between the two sections with vocals. And that instrumental section starts at about 2 minutes in. It's so good. Like, you start hearing those tremolo strings, which are amping up the tension, like, subtly, while the piano and a jazz saxophone play their parts. It's just really sublime. And then it releases that tension in a really nice way with the wonderfully charming waltz time piano section, which is later joined by some whistling and a violin and a woodblock. It's super charming, and just the music there really is captivating.
Yeah.
There are so many great instrumental touches in this song. I love how Jim combines the piano with a harp at the end of the intro section, which launches us into the verse. It just sounds like rich and classy. I don't know how to describe it. I'm sure that's a trope that I've heard a number of times, but it's not something I've ever heard in Songfighter spin tunes very often. And the clarinet, sax, and the strings, they all work really effectively together, and I feel like there's some next level arranging chops on display here that few other songs in this round can even really get close to. I like a lot of the songs this round for different reasons, but none of them I think are quite as strong as musically as this one in that instrumental section. It's really quite amazing what Jim has been able to do with those two chords. I'm really in awe of his talent.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're absolutely right. The orchestration on this is gorgeous. And I think part of why you really love that section, I'm getting into your head now, Chumpy. I think part of the reason why you really love that section is this actually was originally supposed to be an instrumental, according to his bio. He actually said that he only put in the vocals because they're required for spin tunes, but otherwise it would have been an instrumental piece. I personally am really glad that he ended up putting in the vocals for this because it really reminds me of one of my all-time favorite classical music pieces, Ravel's Daphnis et Chloe, which is just a gorgeous ballet. And that's actually what this piece makes me think of. It feels like a ballet, like a very short, tiny dance. Like there needs to be two people on stage while the choir's in the background singing with them. And I really think that the vocals are an important part of this piece because of that, because it helps shape the story that's happening with the dancers that are in my mind's eye. And it's beautifully sung, but the vocals were so well mixed and it perfectly blends into the orchestration of the instrumentals. The singing really reminds me of the 60s, and I can't put my finger on why, but it like gives me this nostalgic hippie music feeling, which I really couldn't tell you why. It just is so pretty. It's so pretty. It's so lovely. And I just really like it. You know, and the feeling that this could be a dance also is reinforced by the fact to me that the lyrics don't really mean much. And I know that this is like in opposition to what Ryan said like 3 minutes ago, but it feels like they're sort of very vague. They're very sparse. They're very vague. It's more about the sound of the words than it is about the story that they're telling or the specific sentences or turns of phrases that they're using. And that helps it fold into the orchestration to make this feel like a grander ballet piece. Getting into nitpicks, I think the whistling is a little bit sharp. Could have been melodyned or pitch corrected. It just like it always stood out to me because it was just the tiniest bit of pitch.
I played parts of it for Ryan before we began. And I was like, oh dude, I'd tune that whistling.
Yeah, it was just it was a little sharp, and otherwise it would have been perfect. But or maybe on a flute could be really nicely done. So going back to the chords. So as Ryan said, if you take the D off of a D minor 7 chord, you have an F major chord.
Yes.
And even if you take your toy piano and you play a D minor 7 over that F major chord, it'll sound like it fits. It'll sound like it belongs. But functionally, when you take the D away, when your darling don't play that D no more, when you take it away, it is an F major chord. And, you know, there were a couple of moments in this piece where, you know, you had so many blue notes, so many extensions, so many polychords that they really became new chords. This is especially in like some of the transition pieces where you've got parallel thirds moving in some of the woodwinds. And, you know, at one point it's just the parallel thirds and okay, that falls into intervals are not chords, but later you have them doing those parallel thirds over a sustained other notes, and that turns it into a chord. You got three notes. It's like you need 2 points for a line, 3 points for a plane, 2 notes for an interval, 3 notes for a chord. I think that this song doesn't meet the brief.
Yeah.
Which is a shame because it is really beautiful. But I think that it failed at the spirit and eventually also at the letter of the brief. Wow.
Interesting. Good
take.
So
this is going to harm it in your rankings? And
your rankings count. I'm
yeah,
like,
that's
ours.
Right. You're the only one here with agency.
It's true.
Yeah, I think that, I don't know, I don't even know if we have to rank. We were trying to figure this out.
Only if there's a tie.
Okay. Or is it that we rank, but it only matters if there's a tie?
Yeah, I think that's functionally
okay. So we
the
still
same.
Have to rank.
Yeah.
Well, no. The thing is, I want to get away with not ranking.
I mean, I'm not going to unless Micah makes me. So.
I give everybody a one. But it's I guess, you know, well, the worst score anybody can get in this is 4, though, right? So
yeah.
Five.
That's right.
That's right.
Okay. So
and that's going to be what this one is for me. I'm really? Sorry, Jim of Seattle. It just.
But you thought it was more egregious than, say, Daniel Sittler or.
Yeah. Okay. You know, Daniel Sittler, like. There is a place for me to say, yeah, that was a polychord. Whereas here, it really does feel like it was like, all right, we're just going to stuff as many extensions in here as we can to get away with making new chords, which I'm just going to say is what I did with my song. I definitely cheated, but again, I mean, I was a shadow.
Right.
So
you were allowed.
So it takes one to know one.
Yeah, exactly. I'm calling you out.
You stole my cheat. Yeah.
up, down, down, left, right, A, B, A. Those are the chord tones that I just.